Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Rosie Bowden.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
That's so fun.
Stay tuned.
Go with the Piffles Podcast, episode 120. This is your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Alex.
I'm Greg.
And we are no Steve, sans Steve.
Best episode ever.
Which is always my favorite episode is when Steve isn't here. And I pointed at him. I do that every single time. But we have our Iron Man streak back.
High five.
Tied. That was a really bad high five.
It was. Well, we can fix that in
let's
post.
Let's cheers with our wonderful Churchill Brewing Company. Delicious beers.
And we can fix that in post. That's the best thing about editing.
It's a really good beer. Give us a follow on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Follow me, at Greg on Sports.
Steve is also on there, at Safamod. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram, just search PifflesPod. And of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. PifflesPodcast, brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out the happy hour drink specials, half price Monday to Friday. 2 to 5, and of course, the Summer Blizzard menu. I'm intrigued to talk about both the last week's game and this week's game, so let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff. All right, so Greg, last week's game, Riders lose 44-41 to Ottawa. If I said the Riders would have lost by 3 in Ottawa, you'd probably would have said...
Makes sense. 26-23.
Can see that, right? Yeah. That's not really that surprising. If I would have told you that Cody Fajardo would have played the whole game, what would you have said?
I would have lost that bet. I for sure thought Harker would see some time.
That's what we were told by head coach Craig Dickinson the entire week. But what if I told you that Cody Fajardo put up 41 points, but the team still lost?
That seems to be the Saskatchewan Rough Rider thing to do.
Well, that's what they did last week, dropping the record to 0-2, of course, losing to Ottawa. But this isn't just, this doesn't feel like just, you know, a loss. Like, there's... let's talk about the offense first. Because that's the positives of this game, right? Does this give you hope? Because this is an offense that did nothing basically all of last year. Didn't do much in Hamilton the week before to start the season. But it showed up last week, and every single time that Ottawa scored, the Riders were there, and they showed that they can respond.
Well, look at that box score. Almost 450 yards passing, almost 500 yards total on offense. When was the last time the Riders did that? Was Durant quarterback? Like, when was the last time that happened?
That was a long time ago.
And honestly, the story of this game is not because obviously the score shows how close it was. Like, it was a back-and-forth game. Like, it was actually really tight. The time of possession was less than a minute apart. Like, this was a hell of a football game to watch.
It was two quarterbacks that were on. And we'll talk a little bit about Ottawa here in just a second. Going back to the Riders' offense, I was a little disappointed by... And we'll talk about Cody Fajardo in a second. I'm not disappointed by him by any means. And William Powell. And just the run game in general. It was okay to start the game the first half. After William Powell fumbled on the first play of the second half, he was benched for basically the rest of the game for Marcus Thigpen.
I think...
And we abandoned the run.
I think Powell also was trying to do too much, is being back in Ottawa. Because if you watch some of those early runs, he was trying to bounce it out. He was trying to move back to go forward. When, honestly, all you need to do is go north and south. And he just refused to do that. Or I guess in Ottawa, it's east and west. I think the game got into his head. I think it's going to be the exception to the rule when it comes to William Powell.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that one fumble, and I thought that Craig Dickinson was a little bit quick to hook him and bench him for the rest of the game. But
well, he did sit underneath the learning tree of Chris Jones and pull in running backs.
Well, I mean, Marcus Thigpen's a pretty good backup to have back there, and he had a good game. He had a couple touchdowns. His touchdown run, William Powell's touchdown run, I actually just want to give props to Kyron Moore, who had one hell of a block allowing Powell to spring to the outside and scoring there. Cody Fajardo, I don't think anybody saw this coming. If somebody would have said, yeah, he's going to throw for 225 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick maybe, like, hey, I would have said, that's a pretty good game. for your backup quarterback. He went lights out. What was it? 360 passing and a few touchdowns. Had one on the run as well, too. First one to Shaq Evans, his first career touchdown.
And, about time.
Right? And had one on the ground as well. But Cody Fajardo, and here's when realistic and Debbie Downer Alex shows up. Pump the brakes, Rider fans. One game. Don't anoint him the next one. Not yet. Let's see if he can put two games together first.
Have you not... Alex, how long have you been a Rider fan? Like, thank you for your first year being a Rider fan.
Too long.
Like, this is what... This is not even just Rider fans. This is what fans do.
Ryan Dinwiddie, his first start that wasn't the Grey Cup, the very next year in 2008 against the Calgary Stampeders, he threw for 450 yards, won the game, and where did he go after that?
Yeah, but look at those eyes.
So dreamy.
It's like looking at two tulip pools. Like, come on.
But that's just my point, though. Like, you can't base a guy's career, anointing him the next one, on one game against an Ottawa defense that really didn't show up all that much except for the beginning of the third quarter. So, while it's encouraging, and it shows hope, and that's really, really good for this team, and don't get me wrong, that's great, especially going up against the Toronto team that just gave up 64 points.
Oh, before we get there, this is going to be either the best game ever or the world's worst trap game.
We'll get to trap game in a little bit. Does Cody Fajardo's performance last week against Ottawa give you hope that he could be the guy to lead this team to the playoffs this year?
We got a shot. I'm not going to anoint him the next starting quarterback, but then again, when's the last time we actually anointed a guy coming up? Like, it was the fight... like
last week, yeah. Isaac Harker.
Well, that too. Oh, I wasted so much time on a design. Anyway, but it's going to go back and forth. Fajardo's going to fail, and he's going to have to pick himself back up. And this is the way we're going to roll through the entire season, because Zach ain't coming back. And if he does, it's not going to be till the end of the season.
He shouldn't be coming back. He needs to take this time on the injured list to sit down with his family and seriously discuss his future, because Mercer Timmis actually just retired. He was with Hamilton last year, went to Toronto this year, the running back, and he retired due to concussion-related issues. So, and this is a kid who's only 24. Zach's, what, 30? 30, going on 31?
Yeah,
and he's had four concussions in the last calendar year. So if this kid's retiring because he's like, whoa, I don't want to deal with that, Zach Claros really needs to sit down with his family and discuss this. And they need to tell him, and the team then needs to tell him, you're not coming back. The team needs to be like, yeah, okay, you might have got medical clearance, but we're going to six game you. Sorry. If not, if you're not going to accept that, here's your walking papers.
Unfortunately, Zach Claros is the walking Exhibit A of the CFLPA's concussion lawsuit against the league. If they let him play anymore, like it sucks. It's terrible that he can't let his career go out the way he wants to. Probably, like I don't see him going, okay, yeah, I want to get concussed game one of the three plays into the first game. But his future is more important than any football game.
Absolutely. So getting back to the game itself, let's talk about the defense. Or actually, you know what? Can I just... one more thing about the offense, and I want to give Stephen McAdoo some credit. He's been crapped on for the last year by pretty much everybody for not having an imaginative offense and for just, you know, hitch screens and little five-yard outs and whatever, right? That was the best game he's called in over a year. And what I really want to give him props for is with 19 seconds left in the first half, the Riders had the ball on their own, 35-yard line after Ottawa scored.
They came up chucking.
Instead of running the ball once and then taking the knee and getting out of the half down 14 and just be like, okay, guys, let's regroup and go from there. No, screw it. We got a young quarterback. Let's push the ball downfield. And that's exactly what they did. Hit a big long pass to Kyron Moore. And then with, 4 seconds left, hit a long bomb 45-yard touchdown to Shaq Evans.
And also got to say, one hell of a game by Kyron Moore.
Another 100 yards for him.
Shaq had 100 yards too. Like, it's the offense made you think this team can make damage. It's just going to be a matter of the young guys playing above what people expect them to do and our defense to finally show up.
And the defense, we need to get help from the defense. this is the side of the field that we had no worries about. Now all of a sudden, we have worries about them because they're not getting any pressure on the quarterback. They're not turning the ball over. And they gave up 44 points to basically a rookie quarterback in Dominic Davis.
Poor Nick Marshall got sunned the entire game.
Oh, was he? He got burnt.
So bad.
But like, at the same time, Dominic Davis was throwing dimes.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. Like,
he was putting passes perfect.
Oh, and that's it. And the TSN pointed out that a lot. Like, he was in perfect coverage every time. The ball was just placed so perfectly, and Rimes played off of Marshall just the right way, turned the shoulder just the right way to keep him away from that ball. Like, unfortunately, it all happened to be on Nick Marshall.
And I want to ask you a question about that, too, because, yeah, they picked on Nick Marshall, who was in good coverage, but if he's in good coverage, why are you picking on him?
Because
so there's a reason why they were picking on him. They saw something.
Yeah, and like I said, Rimes and Davis were like on point, as best as a quarterback and receiver can be. Like, they were hitting windows that most vets were impressed by.
I think once Rimes got that first touchdown, and Nick Marshall thought it was a push off, it was in his head the rest of the game, and he was shook.
Oh, that also didn't help. Because he was talking to the ref way too much.
And after every single other pass that got completed on him, he went to the ref and was complaining that it was offensive pass interference. No, they weren't. If they were, well, that would have been a bad penalty anyway.
And then the worst part is we got busted for offensive pass interference.
Okay, what was up with that? These guys clearly tripped on each other's feet.
That was a terrible call.
That's just a no call. You pick the flag up. If the flag happens to come out for that, you pick it up and nothing happened. If it's just a trip like that, like
that was a terrible call.
And that took the Riders out of field goal position, and they ended up not scoring. Because if they would have stayed in Ottawa's side of the field, Brett friggin' Lawther, who kicked a 57-yarder earlier in the game, could have kicked another 50-plus yarder. There's the difference in the game right there, too.
And it's going to be a theme. Like, you look on Twitter, and I understand the refs take a beating, but that game was so inconsistent. And it's not because we lost. Like, I would say that if we won, it was just, like, some of the calls, you're sitting there scratching your head. I'm kind of happy that the replay is only for egregious calls now, so it speeds up the process. We're not waiting on those 5-minute delays anymore while they look at every angle in slow-mo. But at the same time, like, the on-field officiating has to get better.
Okay, well, let's move to the defensive side of things here. What's going on? I guess we were talking about the defense.
Yeah, we were talking.
We talked about offense. Yeah. Okay, so obviously Nick Marshall, the secondary, I don't think played bad by any means. I think it was just Nick Marshall got picked on, and quarterback was good. What about the rest of the team? Linebackers. I don't think the linebackers were the issue. I thought that Cam Judge played one hell of a game.
Judge is the player that Chris Jones drafted. Like, he was everywhere. He was causing havoc. He got banged up a little bit partway through the game there, but
he did come back.
He did come back, so that's a good sign. But yeah, our linebacking core wasn't the problem. We got some sacks, at least from the defensive line this week. They were in Davis's face, but I don't know. Like,
are we expecting too much out of them? Because we know based on last year how good this defense can be, and really it's for the most part the same defense. Are we just expecting too much out of them?
Yes.
Or is this just one of those, look at 2010, the Riders had a great defense in 2010. Season opener against Montreal, they gave up 47 in that game.
I also think
50, whatever it was.
I also think the Riders play terrible in Ottawa half the time anyway. I never expect them to come out of Ottawa with a win. It's just, I don't know what it is about that stadium, but...
Well, with all the travel, going from the east to the west, or back to the west, and then going back out east, kind of on a shorter week,
it's
with all that travel anyway,
to come out with a 3-point loss is not the end of the world. We scored 41 points, so you hope to win, but yeah, we ran into a hot quarterback with a hot receiver,
one of those classic CFL shootouts.
Yeah, like
McKenna Henry.
Oh, good. Okay. I was waiting for this.
Yes.
All right.
So we all got mad last week about Simone Lawrence, and rightfully so, because that was a garbage hit that he put on Zach Kolaros. Mac Henry. So it was Dominic Davis.
Dominic Davis running towards the sideline.
Running towards the sideline. Gets shoved out of bounds by, I think it was Solomon Means.
Yep.
And perfectly legal shove out of bounds. There's nothing wrong with the shove. He was still a couple feet in bounds when he got pushed. He was going out anyway, but still, he needed a little assistance going out, and that happens everywhere.
That happens all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that. Matt Kennedy just standing there, leans his shoulder in, knocks Davis down, hits him shoulder to shoulder, and takes a 15-yard penalty. Yes, 15-yard penalty, 100% warranted.
He got a 15-yard penalty for being a meathead. Is Matt Kennedy a meathead? Yes, Matt Kennedy's a meathead.
It was silly, it was dumb, it was selfish. But at the same time, people are, because it's the Riders, and look what happened last week against the Riders, because we lost our mind with Simone Lawrence. Well, what about Rider fans now? Are you guys going to complain about Matt Kennedy? It wasn't a malicious hit. He didn't try to take his head off.
Don't get me wrong. If Matt Kennedy went full JBL and tried to clothesline him out of his boots, yeah, okay. Then we can talk about suspension. Matt Kennedy's being a meathead. Should he have moved? Probably. Did he need to lean into it? No. It's not like he forearm shivered the guy.
Worth an ejection?
See, this is where the issue goes. Because some people were comparing it to assault.
Ridiculous.
I know. And I'm trying to remember, I should actually look this up. What happened to Daron Carter when he ran over Rick Campbell?
Well, he flopped. Campbell flopped.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. The Campbell dive team. I understand that.
Yes. He got his one game, and that got appealed, and he ended up not missing
it. Exactly. And so, yes, people that are not in the game probably should not touch people that are in the game. I get it. But to try to equate that to what Simone Lawrence did and go, well, man, Rider fans, you're being hypocritical. No, we're not. It's two separate things. And I think I tweeted, I know I did for a fact, to our buddy Josh there at Podski Wee Wee, when he was trying to make the same comparison. I'm like, I hate polluting the ocean too, but I'm not going to compare the Exxon Valdez to someone throwing a Coke bottle in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a dumb play. Matt Henry's being a meathead. He got penalized for it. Move on. He isn't getting a suspension for it.
Yeah, that's people calling for suspension and ejection. Okay. Yeah, they were Ottawa people that were doing that, but pump the brakes a little bit. It wasn't that bad.
It looked worse in slow motion. Like, in real time, it looked like he didn't move.
Davis did kind of flop a little bit. It wasn't soccer level, and World Cup of Soccer's on. Well, it's the ladies, though, so there's not really much.
You know how much flop? They play harder than the guys do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, NBA is over, so you can't flop like the NBA. But, yeah, so... It was a nothing. It was stupid, don't get me wrong, and it did cost the team field position, which led to a field goal, and again, the difference in the game. But you take them to the side, and you're like, hey, just move out of the way next time.
Yeah. Like I said, like it's not like he forearmed the guy.
I blame TD Place for that.
That was my next point.
Because both teams are on the same sideline. And if it happened in any other stadium, he wouldn't have been standing there. There would have been no problems.
Yep, that would be the home side, not an issue. And that's the same reason why Daron Carter went through Rick Campbell, because they were on the same side, and he was on the middle of the field, and Carter was celebrating a touchdown. Like, it's... that I hate that when they have the teams on the same side. You're just asking for trouble like that. But at the same time, if they would have ran him out the other way, Matt Kennedy ain't moving.
I wish he would have just hit him a little bit harder. Not hurt him, but just a little bit harder.
Honestly,
just,
if you're going
to
do
don't
it...
Don't come to our sidelines.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, do it. Like, come on.
Right. All right.
Well, don't do the high school, like, jock meathead down the middle of the hallway. Like,
exactly.
Put some weight behind it, Mac. Come on.
All right, well, let's move along here. That was the opening kickoff presented by Kathy Feston of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Feston Royal LePage. We got to talk about this week's game, though. Riders, home opener, Canada Day, July 1st, against the Toronto Argonauts. Now, Greg, is this a trap game? I've been saying this for the last couple days, that I feel this is a trap game. Toronto just gave up 64 points to Hamilton. The Riders didn't give up 64 points to Hamilton. But the offense is coming off a good game, scoring 41 points. It just feels to me, I have this weird gut feeling, and I've watched this team for too many times. Everyone's like, oh, we're going to crush Toronto. They gave up 64. We just scored 41. We're coming home. Yes, offense is ready to go. Cody Fajardo's the one.
See, that's
He's
where
our
I'm
next
at right
guy.
Now.
That's where, honestly, that's where I'm at. But I know better.
This team should blow out Toronto by 21 points easily.
And I say, look at Montreal last year. Look at that Montreal game last year. The game that kept us from being first in the West. I stand by that. Any other game, coin flip. That was a game we should have put the our foot on the throat of Montreal, and we lost to Antonio Pipkin. Seriously.
We lost to Jeff Matthews.
I don't know. They've had 20 quarterbacks. I have no idea who they got.
Jeff Matthews, and that's what you get when you
Schlitz, I don't know.
Schlitz, I think, played Schlitz, that game, like, too. They had four quarterbacks play that game.
It's just... The Riders have this notorious ability to play to the opponent. It doesn't matter who they are. It's a three-point game. Every time you take the Vegas line, it's a three-point game. It could be the worst team in the league, be the best team in the league. The Riders are always going to be within 3 points because that's the way they play. They should win this game. For the love of God, they should win this game. Toronto is not scaring anybody. Toronto took 6 steps back, apparently, this year. Montreal's looking more of a team than they are. And that's hard for me to say.
And you have feelings about Kavis Reid and the Montreal.
Me and Kavis Reid. Kavis Reid.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah, I would. Kavis Reid is my white whale. I cannot wait for the day me and him can take a picture together. I will frame it. I will put it in my office.
You mentioned being worried about anyone on their team. What about their receivers? They have a pretty good receiving core. SJ Green, Armani Edwards, Darrell Walker. You look at it on paper, they look pretty good. If James Franklin can get going in any way, and you look at our DBs, yeah, we like our stable of DBs, but if Nick Marshall gets picked on, and a lot of people don't like what Solomon Means is bringing, they're calling for Crezdon Butler to come back. Does Toronto maybe have an advantage there?
SJ Green is SJ Green. He is by far...
He's going to put up his 100. He's going to get a touchdown.
He's going to catch a pass through a keyhole that no person on this planet should catch but SJ Green. Armonte Edwards was a hell of a receiver with the Riders. Unfortunately, we had an enrichment of receivers at that point, and he was the odd man out.
Could have used him last year.
That is true. It's just... And yeah, you throw in Walker over there. Yeah, they've got 3 really good receivers. Problem is, though, you need the between Bethel Thompson, right?
McLeod Bethel. Macbeth.
Pick a name. God damn it, you don't need 3. you do not drive a NASCAR. You do not need 3 names.
Is that what number 19 in Calgary should be doing instead?
That too. But. You got to disrupt the quarterback. If the quarterback can't get the ball to those 3 guys, they're non-factors. So it's going to be a matter of messing with that offensive line and with our defensive line and causing chaos. And I think we can do it.
Corey Chamberlain returning to Saskatchewan. Argo's given up 64 points. He's got to have his team ready for this one, right? Like there's no way that they can give up 64 points again.
The good news.
I would love it. That'd be awesome.
The good news is he's got a long week to prepare. However, if they get another licking laid on him, oh my Lord! Can you imagine that post game presser with the Regina media who don't like him already?
Could you imagine the Regina media if the Riders don't win this game though?
Yeah,
Dickinson falls to 0-3.
They'll be nice to Craig. I don't think Corey Chamberlain is going to get the warm welcome that, well, everyone knows he ain't getting a warm welcome from the Regina media. Because let's face it, last presser he did in Regina, he made no friends.
Well, he's not the one who catches the ball. He's not the one who throws it.
He was the guy that drove the bus over his team, though.
That's why he's no longer here. Is there anything specific about this game that kind of stands out to you that the Riders need to do to have success, other than obviously score more points and the defense has to put pressure on the quarterback? Like, I mean, we know these things.
So don't give the Steve answer.
Yeah, don't give the Steve answer. Sorry, Steve. Not sorry, Steve.
Not sorry, Steve. Honestly, they need to give Fajardo more time. Like, the offensive line played decent, but there was times that you could tell, like, he was through reads 1 and 2, and he was already on the move.
And I think a lot of that stems from the running game. Offensive lines tend to I mean, offensive lineman, you can only hold up a D lineman for a couple seconds in real time. Like, that's realistically all you can do. If you start running the ball and you're the aggressor on the run play, that helps you in pass protection. For whatever reason, I don't get it. I'm not an O-lineman. But for whatever reason, it seems to work if you can get that run game going. So I think establishing the run early in this game and having the confidence of the O-lineman, if they're consistently moving the ball, we'll get time for Jardo.
From what I've been told, the run game puts the defensive line on their heels a little more. So instead of on the snap of the ball, if they know it's going to be a passing play,
they can just tee
they
off.
They can just tee off. If they have to prepare for the run, they got to hesitate a little bit just to make sure they're not...
See where the play is going.
Exactly.
Well, look at you, Mr. Brainiac.
I pick stuff up here and there.
Anything else about this game?
Big Sugar?
I like Big Sugar. This is out of all the halftime shows...
I literally know only one song.
Digging a Hole.
Yeah.
The scene. Here I am. I'm on the scene.
I'm just gonna keep on. I'm not gonna pretend. But until you keep on singing the song, I'm just gonna pretend like I don't know.
What did I say? I said digging a hole.
Yeah.
Turn the lights on.
Okay, I know that one. Yeah. Okay. Scene. Two. I know two songs.
And there's one other one I'm totally blanking on right now. Let me trust the old internet machine here. Once I type in Big Sugar songs, you'll notice. You'll know the other one.
Are Big Sugar still a band? Yes, they're playing in Regina.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah. What's the other one? They have a song called Old Canada. I wonder if they're going to sing that.
Oh, there we go. I'm just glad we don't get the rec clause. Sorry. I like them on
We're going to talk about that in just a second. I told you I have something I want to say about the upcoming Winnipeg-Edmonton game, and that's it. Better Get Used to It. That's the song. Better Get Used to It.
Maybe. Sounds familiar, but probably... Okay. Yeah.
I like them. They're good. Nicotina. I remember that one. I bet you don't remember
but,
that
but the worst part about... any concert at the stadium is they put it in that northwest end zone. Right above Pill Country, and it totally bottlenecks that one section.
I don't like going over there in the first place because it's already so bad.
Yeah.
Let alone if you had a stage and a concert and people rushing there. No thanks. A hard pass. I'll stay at my seat in the other end zone.
But we also got the world's biggest Canada flag.
Great. The Riders trying to sell this game. How do you do it? If you're the marketing team. Because if you look at Ticketmaster right now and how many tickets are available, there is a lot of tickets. It's not even close to a sellout. Not even close. This is the home opener. Canada Day. I get it. 5 o'clock on the last day of the long weekend. It's kind of hard for, you know, people coming in from out of town.
I'm going to be honest. We are heading out to my dad's cabin in Wispin Lake on Friday, and we are driving in to make the game. There's going to be a lot of people that are like, no.
And looking at the Ticketmaster map, anything in the 600s, they're pretty much all there. The 100s by Pill Country, the couple, like two sections over there on each side are completely free.
Wow.
There are a ton of seats. And I was looking at it, and you have upper deck seats in the 600. Sure, they're, you know, midfield, $75. For bleeders. I think the Riders price themselves out of the market. You'll have your hardcores that are going to go. We're going to be there no matter what. We also pay, you know, the cheapest tickets and we sit in the end zone. But this concerns me a little bit because this team should be selling out their home opener for sure. And Labor Day should be the two ones that you shouldn't be able to get tickets to because it's always sold out right away.
This has kind of been a trend we've been talking for years. It's almost since the podcast started. The Riders have... overestimated their fan base. They've overcharged their fan base, and they've underappreciated their fan base. They've always believed the fans are always going to be there. I think they forgot about like the late 90s, early 2000s when this team was hemorrhaging money. Like the fans weren't always there. It took a lot of work and a lot of goodwill with the fans to bring them back. And you had them in the palm of your hand, and then slowly by slowly, you have been alienating fans. You've been charging them more money, and you just say, if we put a game on, people are going to show up. Sorry, that's not the way this works anymore. people go to games not for the football anymore. It's for the experience, for the nuance, for the little crap that I don't care about. I go for the football games. But I'm a season ticket holder for a reason. You've got people who used to go to the games. It's $20 to sit in the university section. And you'd go have fun with your friends, hang out, do stupid chants, have a few drinks, yell at the people in the hot tub.
Like Ballsy sucks?
Oh, Ballsy, you do suck.
People yelled that a lot over there.
But he does suck. To be fair, Ballsy does suck.
I think that's why they had shirts made.
Probably. And that was also, you had people wearing costumes, and you still see people like that, obviously, but like you had like the gangrene, and you had the guys in the Blazers, and I'll never, like, I got the Dan Farthing song in my head every time Dan Farthing caught a ball. Like, that's missing at the games now. Yeah, you've got, like, Steve and, like, Ferlin and those guys dressing up like Star Wars characters, and you still got stuff like that, but...
It's a different atmosphere.
It's a different atmosphere because you're paying $50 a game plus anything you buy the concessions, and when you're paying $10 a beer, like, to take a family of four... And thank God my kids are gluten-free because they can't have anything there. I'm easily spending... And I got season tickets. And I'm not even including the tickets. I'm spending at least $50, $60 out of pocket on food and little knick-knack crap whenever I take my kids. And I don't take them that often. That's part of the reason.
The economy the way it is, it's tough right now. People have to pick and choose, and right now the riders aren't being chosen.
And like I said, and that's on top of my season tickets.
It's just as easy to sit at home and watch the game and whatever, order a pizza, or if you're willing to spend the money, or else you just make whatever and you just sit at home and watch the game.
And that's how the world of sports has evolved. The presentation on TV with high def and cameras everywhere and more in depth and instant gratification when it comes to apps.
That's what people want.
It's sports is no longer going to be about butts in the seats.
Yeah, that's not a rider thing.
I don't want to
poo-poo on the riders for that. That's just in general.
And so unfortunately though, the riders and the CFL are stuck in that now because the CFL is very much a butts in the seat model. That needs to change, or else you're going to see like Montreal's hemorrhaging money, Toronto's hemorrhaging money, BC's hemorrhaging money. Because to a fault of TSN, the product on the TV is slicker than it can be in the stadium. So you got to find ways to draw people in. And just going, hey, we're putting on a football game, doesn't work anymore.
No. Well, that's...
There you go. That's my passionate plea to the CFL and the Riders.
Winning cures everything.
That it does.
And so if your team is winning, people will show up because they want to see a winning product. So hopefully they get this win here on Monday coming up, and that'll... help sell tickets for the next game next Saturday, which will be a hell of a game against Calgary on a Saturday night at 8 p.m. So they shouldn't have worries about selling that one.
God, that's tough. I could care less if we lose every game this year. That and Labor Day.
One's just an automatic W.
Yeah, that's a win. Banjo Ball also a win because we're going. I will take those three wins as long as we beat Calgary at home.
All right. So you're okay with a 3-15 season as long as it's those three games?
You know, those three games. Winnipeg right. Twice, Calgary once. Okay. I'm fine.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on here to kind of our pick'em, but also talk a little bit about some of the other games going on this week. And so first off, just tell me who wins. Do your pick'em first, and then we'll talk a little bit about the game. Thursday night football, 3rd and 1 from the gun underneath those Thursday night lights. Edmonton at Winnipeg. The Recklaws singing the national anthem, and is the halftime show, the concert series for Winnipeg, which, this is what I was talking about earlier, what I want to talk about. This happened last year, the season kickoff in Winnipeg against Edmonton. The Recklaws did the halftime, which ended up getting canceled. They did Canada Day. So this game is going to get delayed the same as it did last time. This game is going to take 5 hours to do. Last year, it was after midnight by the time the game finished because of all the weather delays. And as we record this on a Tuesday night, the clouds are rolling in pretty good right now. Looks like we're going to get a storm here in Saskatchewan. We'll see how long that lasts and pushes its way to Winnipeg.
I'm going to look at the Winnipeg forecast right now.
Well, while you do that, I'll keep going.
Okay.
I'm picking Winnipeg.
I think Winnipeg's going to win. As good as
Edmonton looked against
Trevor
BC.
Harris has looked really good this year.
And don't get me wrong, it helps that Ellingson went with him. That's an instant.
I like how Trevor Harris said, "Oh yeah, it was just like old times." What do you mean old times? That's been literally your all time.
Well, he doesn't have Brett Snobley.
Well, I guess so, but come on, old times. You did that last year and the year before.
Thursday's partial sunshine. However, they're supposed to get rain today and tomorrow.
I bet you that stays for a day and this game gets delayed. Something's going
to
happen.
And at that point, the CFL's like, okay, Reclaws, you're no longer invited to Winnipeg.
Montreal at Hamilton.
It's sad I have to think about this.
Is this a game that could also, like, Hamilton last week on the road won by 50 points? That's almost unheard of in this day and age. This is a game that they could probably win by 50 again.
And
although Montreal did show us quite a bit against Edmonton in week one. That was a bit of a shocker. They only lost by 4 points and they had a chance to win it.
Hamilton wins, but it's going to be a lot closer than everyone thinks it's going to be. And I don't understand why no one gives Vernon Adams a shot. The dude can play, and it seems he's always plan B. He's like the new Kevin Glenn.
Well, he's got his shot here for 4 to 6 weeks, and oh, we didn't even mention it. Brandon Bridge back in Montreal. Facepalm by Greg.
Ugh. I like him. I do. Like, one of my favorite pictures I have is me, him, and my daughter at the WWE event 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Good guy, loves our truth for some reason. I don't get it, but
he's the 24/7 champion.
He is the 6-time European 24/7 European champion. I want Brandon Bridge to succeed. I do, but I don't know what it is. 2 years ago, it looked like he could be a star in this league, and he just hasn't been able to do it since. I don't get it. And Montreal's not the answer for him.
I'm with you on this game that it's going to be a lot closer than people think. Hamilton will win. Won't be any more than 10 points, though. It'll be fairly close the entire way through, I think. Probably the game of the week, BC at Calgary. Both teams looking for their first win. Should BC be worried at 0-2 when you have Mike Riley? Mike Riley shaved his beard!
That's how, actually, I think he got, when he got sacked, it fell off.
That was a lot of sacks he took. 7 sacks plus the amount of other hits that he took.
That one with he basically is doing, like, it looks like he's breakdancing. He's doing a headstall.
He landed on his neck.
Yeah, it looks like he's doing a headstall.
The league should have brought him out.
How?
The eye in the sky.
How?
If this player safety thing is so damn important to the league, the eye in the sky needs to take him out. Whether you get up right away and walk off and go right to the huddle, and he threw a touchdown pass the next play, so kudos to him for that. He was clearly fine.
He was aiming to the guy like three guys over, though.
But the point is that if... But the point is, if you're going to talk about player safety and have this extra official on the field and the eye in the sky, you see a guy taking a hit like that and lands on his neck and head, take him off for a play. Get him checked out. I know he's going to be pissed off about it, and all athletes are when they get taken off the field because they all think they're fine. Make sure, because this is the league's franchise player. Like, this is the league's... He's the face of the league.
He's the highest player in the league. Here's my problem, though. Everyone's like, oh, the problem is, though, if the officials do that, the fans of that team, especially, are going to get pissed at the officials for dragging a guy off the field. Know who they should really be mad at? That friggin' offensive line.
Oh, that offensive line was terrible.
Offensive line is actually probably the best description for them, because that was friggin' offensive. 7 sacks. 7. At some point,
4 of them in a row at the end of the game.
Like, do your damn job. And I'm not even a Lions fan. And I know all 5 Lions fans were pissed at me because of my meme I made this week. By the way, I think BC stands for butts chapped, just so we know. Because, Hervey's got a plan. I hope Hervey's got a plan to protect his almost $750,000 investment. Because you can't keep on dropping a guy on his head and not expecting a concussion.
Well, and he took a very massive, blatant headshot from Nick Usher as well, too, which was BS that he didn't get kicked out of the game. Same with Simone Lawrence. I feel the same way about that, because he was already being sacked on his way down, and the guy lowered his head into Riley's head. Yeah, he got the 15-yard penalty, but
See, what they need to... Okay,
should have been more, and he should have been kicked out of the game. The game was over at the time.
The CFL needs to do is a head-up rule. They teach kids to tackle with their heads up. If you cannot see the face mask up...
It's a penalty.
That should be a penalty. Quit leading with your heads.
They got to do something.
Get rid of the helmets. At this point, just get rid of the helmets.
It's just getting bad. But although this could be a really good game, again, well, Levi Mitchell didn't look all that good against Ottawa the first week. And Calgary's looking for the first win. Oh, yeah, if you hear dogs WrestleMania in the background, we got a new puppy. So, well, might hear some stuff in the background. But BC's O-line just... as bad as Calgary's D-line is shaken up right now, and you know Junior Turner's out for the year. I saw nothing in that BC game last week that shows me any sense that they should have any kind of confidence coming to this, regardless of what passionate leadership that Mike Riley shows in his post-game address to the team, that you know get your S together and everything. No, I don't buy it. Sorry, if you can't be motivated for a game and you need a quarterback to motivate you, like, I get it, that's part of the job of being a quarterback, is you're the leader of the team and you have to get guys motivated. I think that's garbage in the first place. No, you're playing already, you know what's at stake, you should be motivated already, and this team is showing no motivation. And Daron Carter, as much as I like the guy, because I really think he's good for the league, I really, really do, it's the same Daron Carter we saw here last year. It's the same Daron Carter we saw at the end of his time in Montreal. If the play's not going to him, DBs can telegraph that. They know right away if the play might come to him or not. And he's lazy. And I've personally never seen a lazier player in practice than Daron Carter.
Daron Carter...
Mike Riley isn't going to fix him.
No.
Sorry.
Daron Carter, the best Daron Carter was, is when Chris Jones basically held his hand every goddamn day.
He babysat him. He brought him in for a meeting every single day.
Kept him motivated. That was the only way you could keep him going. And yes, you are going to see flashes of Daron Carter, the athlete.
Ridiculously talented.
Yeah. Like,
top five talent.
Yeah, top five talent. And he just can't seem to put it together, which sucks. Because, yeah, we all like him. Because we all think he could be great for this league. He just does not want to put it together. And it sucks.
So all that said, we're both taking Calgary, right?
Oh,
it's in Calgary.
Yeah, you got to. And it's... They lost to Ottawa. In Calgary. Huh?
We lost to Ottawa.
Yeah, but Calgary lost to Ottawa in Calgary. We lost to Ottawa in Ottawa.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and final game. We already talked about it. Canada Day, Toronto at Saskatchewan.
Riders... I hate must-win games. I hate using that term. But
is it a must-win game?
They like we said.
Is there any Week 3 game that is a must-win game?
You can't. Do I understand that the West Division right now looks terrible because everyone's losing?
It'll even out.
It'll even out eventually, but you can't afford to leave Eastern games off the board,
especially home games.
And we've already gone 0-2 against the East Division. We can't make it 0-3, especially considering it's at home. So it's not a must win. They have to win it.
I'm bordering on the must win. It's not in terms of playoff positioning or anything right now because there's still 15 games to go after this.
It's a first step.
But it's as close to a must win without being a must win as it possibly can be. They got to win, and they will win. They will win this one. It'll just be closer than people think. Anything else for this week?
No, I got to say BC is butt chapped, so I'm good.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Greg on Sports.
Steve is also on Twitter for some reason. People follow him. I don't get it. I have him muted.
If you enjoy seeing a guy's tonsils a lot, I guess.
I don't actually have him muted. I should. Amy has him muted.
But I also think I have Greg muted. Huh. And I have muted you.
Probably. But I post dog pictures now, so. Yeah. Anyway, Steve's at Safamod. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, @PifflesPod. And, of course, the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Special thanks go out to Dairy Queen on Elphinstone and Sass Drive here in Regina. They bring you this show each and every week during the season. Special thanks as well to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support as well to make this show possible. We got to go here, so it's time for Tyler Gilbert, Ghost Behind Your Mind. The ghost behind your mind.